our society is consumed with the attitude of what I feel is the most important. How I think is what matters most. This is not anything that's new to those of us who have been striving to serve the Lord for years. We've known that there were a lot of people out there in the world that were more concerned with what made them feel good than with what God had to say. But just because we've known it's been out there for a long time and we've heard lessons and we've talked about it and we've got it settled in our own minds doesn't mean we shouldn't remind ourselves from time to time of these things. And as I told Brother Bill just a while ago, I kind of stepped on my sermon a little bit in Bible class this morning. There's some similarities in what we'll be talking about this morning and what we had in Bible class. But that just reminds him and Brother John that I'm not partial in picking on their lessons and walking all over what they're going to teach. I do myself as well. And we want to look at these things from the standpoint of what matters? Which one is more useful to us? Which helps us? The things that I feel or the things that have been revealed to me? As we read from the 1 Corinthian letter, the Apostle Paul's statement there to the Corinthian brethren, he said, I came preaching Christ, not what man thought, not what I thought. We find elsewhere that he reminds those that he writes to that the things that I preach to you, I receive from Christ himself. I didn't receive them from men. They're not my own ideas. They came from God because God has revealed. Yet, because our society is so filled with the attitude of what I think, how I feel, is the most important, we need to consider these things. Now, one of the things that kind of surprises us sometimes about this is if you take this person or if you take this attitude and you go over to, let's say you go over to the new yarn shop downtown. I'll stop picking on Walmart. You go over to the new yarn shop downtown, you walk in there and you see some yarn that you really like and they got it marked at $10 a skein. Yes, I know what a skein is. $10 a skein, and you walk up to the owner and you say, you know, I know that's what you got that price at, but I really think that yarn is only worth $5 a skein. Do you really think that the owner's going to sell it to you for $5 a skein because you feel that $5 a skein is better? No. Go down to the tractor store and buy something for your lawnmower or for your tractor and tell them, I feel you've got that price about three times higher than it ought to be. You're probably going to go home without what you was looking for. Because we don't accept this idea of I feel, even in our everyday life. Yet, so many say that's the standard for religion. We don't even accept it of the store owners. If you go to the store, we don't except them saying, I feel that this jug of milk ought to cost $10, and so I'm going to charge you $10 for it. We'll leave and go somewhere else where it's a reasonable price according to the standards that have been set. We don't even accept that in our physical world and our interactions with one another because it's not a reliable standard because feelings are of men. And men, and I use the term men, in the standard of humanity, the race. Men are not stable. We're not reliable. We're not steady. Even though we are created in the image of God, as Moses reveals to us in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, God created us in His image. He still left our minds free to choose of our own. We're not some sort of automaton. We're not a robot that's been given programming and we can only respond to what He has given. We're able to choose on our own. We're able to make distinctions based on our attitude and our understanding. The human mind has a various life experience, and as such, we will come up with different ideas. Yet the revelation of God is true and certain and will never change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God has not changed. While there have been some changes in the exact commands that had to be followed, God's attitude toward men and their obedience is the same today that it was in the Garden of Eden. You do what I say. Follow my commands. Mankind is not a reliable source. And so we cannot trust feelings because they are of men. We can see this, as we made mention of, in our interaction with one another in the retail businesses. We can see this even in our judicial system from time to time. Because one judge will rule one way with the same evidence, another judge may rule differently. Because men's feelings are not the same. There is a need for feeling in our service unto God. We need to be emotional about God. But we cannot let those emotions be that which tells us what's right and wrong. We need to be, as Paul told the brethren in Rome, fervent in spirit. We need to have emotion in our service to God, fervent in spirit. We need to have joy. We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 of the thousands that were added to the body of Christ at that time as they received the word and were baptized. And we read later about their joy of being together and being in God and how they rejoiced even later on. That they were counted worthy to suffer persecution. There's a place for emotion in our service to God, but not in determining what is right or wrong. Only that which has been revealed by God is sufficient for that. One of the good examples of that is in 2 Kings chapter 5, where we have the story of Naaman. Every time I think about this idea of feelings and people wanting to guide themselves by feelings, I think of Naaman. Because when he came to Elisha and asked Elisha to heal him, and Elisha told him what God had told him to do, his first thought, the first thing that came to mind to Naaman was, "Behold, I thought." Here's what I thought would happen. I thought he would come out and lay his hands on me, make a big production of it, lay his hands on me, and I'd be healed. But no. He wants me to go off and do this. There's a distinct difference between the idea of what man thinks and what God has revealed there. That story illustrates it very well. Feelings are of men, and thus they are without divine support. I've got this listed as two different points here, but really it's a common idea. Feelings don't come from God, and God does not endorse the feelings of men in determining that which is right and wrong. But over and over again in the pages of Scripture, we find God reinforcing the revelation that He has given to us. And it has the testimony of the ages behind it. There is nothing in the pages of Scripture that, when properly understood, would point us in the direction of just whatever you think is right, you go ahead and do it. In fact, every time we see that attitude, it's condemned. Probably one of the places that stand out, and I don't have this on the screen there, but the book of Judges. We've mentioned this recently in other lessons. The book of Judges is a very vivid illustration of this. Israel was not submitting to God. In fact, it says very plainly that after Joshua and his generation passed away, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And when you carry that idea through the entire book of Judges and look at all the things that happen in that book, it's easy to see what happens when we do what I think or what I feel is right. We fail. In almost every instance. Even the ones that God sent to save Israel, when they did what they thought was right, they failed. I list one in particular, a guy named Samson. When he started to pay attention to his feelings, he failed every time. They have no support from God. The scripture clearly shows us that feelings are not always in accordance with the divine revelation and testimony of God. It is a teaching that we need to be very well aware of. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Our way will always ultimately fail. It may make us feel good for now. It may satisfy a longing that we have, but it's not going to be successful in the long run unless it has come from God. It is not supported by divine testimony at all. The scriptures clearly teach that we are, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Or the one that rejects me and does not receive my sayings, he has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day in John chapter 12 and verse 48. The example of Christ is, though he was a son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Anyone that goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. The only divine support we can find is for the revealed Word of God. How I feel doesn't matter. It doesn't fall into the purview of what God has authorized. Because, as we made mention and we talked about in Bible class this morning to some degree, the ideas and feelings of men are unreliable. They're unreliable from one man to the other. As much as David and I have discovered, we're a lot alike in a lot of ways. I'm not so sure they're all the best ways, but anyway, we are a lot alike in a lot of ways. I feel different about some things than David does, even in some of the things that we're alike. I mean, trombone's the best. You know? They're not reliable. They're not always going to match. I'm sure each of us have learned in our own marriages that there's difference, even though we're both focused on making our marriage as God would have it to be and appreciating and helping one another get through life, we have different ideas about how that happens, right? My wife and I think along similar lines in a lot of things. But there's lots of times when I'm mowing the yard and I think something's a weed and she says it's a flower. You know? From person to person, they're not reliable. And we need to understand that going in. They're unreliable. Because they're not the same. Now, Isaiah tells us that my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. That's where we read, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways. I think that's the answer to one of our questions in our lesson book this morning that we didn't get to yet. Jeremiah, speaking from his understanding and knowledge of the Lord, said, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in man who walks to direct his steps, because man is not reliable. But God is. God is true. He is the same today that He was in the beginning, and He will be the same when this world comes to an end. And He will be the same throughout all eternity. God is true. That's what John chapter 3, verse 33 says. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. You want reliability? You want something that you can depend on from now to eternity? Look to God. Don't lean on me. I may step away. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes not. Not reliable. Man is not reliable, but God is. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. It is the word of God that we have to go to find reliability. The Bereans knew that. They received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Paul had a good message. He was a great speaker. He said some wonderful things. But their first thought was, let me go see if this matches what God said. Let me see if this is what God told us to do. Paul told Timothy, Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. If we want to know how to do, we go to God. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. And He never changes. And here again, I've got this listed as a separate point. We've already talked about it a little bit. But these two are tied together. The unreliability leads to the variance. And the variance leads to the unreliability. We talked about how from one person to another, feelings will vary. But let's not forget, feelings will vary in a single individual based on time and circumstance. How I feel in one situation may not match how I feel in another situation. What do you mean, Dan? Well, I hope it's not something that is prominent or prevalent in me, but I have seen it in others. Strong, steady, harsh stand against alcoholism for a long period of time. And then a father or a child or a cousin or an in-law is found to be caught up in alcoholism. And then this person that was strong and stalwart against any kind of drinking whatsoever changes their mind and begins to say, well, you know, just a little bit every now and then is not such a bad thing. And I only use that as one example. This has happened in numerous areas. It's happened in regards to marriage and divorce and remarriage. It's happened in regards to premarital sexual engagement. It's happened in regards to those who have left the church. It's happened in regards to just about any kind of sin that we may come up on. An individual may change their feeling based on how close they are to the situation, or based on a change in their circumstances. In fact, one of the prominent ideas in this practice of how I feel is what makes a difference, not what's been revealed, has been the situation, the attitude of situational ethics. What's going on, who's involved, determines whether it's right or not. This has been a problem in our society over and over through the years. This person is not one of us, so it's okay for us to mistreat them, because they're from somewhere else. I can treat them differently than I would treat somebody that grew up with me. This person doesn't match the exact characteristics that I think is what people ought to And so they're a second class or third class or not even a citizen. I don't have to give them the same care that I give somebody else. And I know several of you already got, you know who we're talking about without even calling names or ideologies. This person is less than me, so they don't deserve what I have. This person hasn't put forth enough effort to reach the level that I have. Never mind what they had to deal with was completely different than me. But they hadn't reached the level that I have because they didn't work as hard as I did. Therefore, they're a lesser person than I am. They don't deserve what I deserve. You see, these are all illustrations of how ruling ourselves by our feelings can get in the way. In fact, it will lead us astray in almost every instance, because our feelings vary from time to time, even in ourselves. I'm confident that each of us can look back upon our lives and tell that there was a time when we felt different about one thing than we do today. Hopefully it's for the positive change, but it could just as well be for the negative, especially when we're talking about mankind in general. That's one of the things that gets us in so much trouble when we're discussing with people today. I feel this, and so when I listen to what somebody says, I come from that standpoint first and foremost. And so I hear what they say tainted by what I think. And it doesn't fit, it doesn't match, and therefore I go back at them because they don't feel the same way I do. That's why, as was mentioned in our Bible class, the discussions of genealogies and things of that nature is so dangerous. Because, for one thing, we don't have a lot of things that are revealed about some of those things, and therefore we don't have a standard to go to and say, here's what it said exactly. And so we're resting on how I feel about it. Our feelings vary. They will change with our circumstances. They will change with our attitudes. They will change from one person to another, and therefore they cannot be a reliable standard. We used the example this morning, going and buying a tape measure, and instead of using the measurements on that tape measure, you put your own mark down for 1 foot. And you use that for your standard. Well, you're not going to match 1 foot. Apostle Paul said, I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I thought. But when he looked to Revelation, he learned different. What he thought was not right. Our feelings are affected by the feelings of others. Luke chapter 16 and verse 17, easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail. If you read the old King James, that's where you got a jot and a tittle. The dot over the I and the crossing of the T is the equivalent there. God's word never changes. Doesn't matter who is reading it. Doesn't matter how they got a hold of it. God's word is always the same. In fact, we could go so far that it doesn't even matter what translation you read from, for the most part. It's the same. We may misunderstand what it says sometimes. We may misinterpret what it says. But what the Bible says is always the same. It never changes. In fact, that's one of the proofs we have that our translation, most of our translations today, are reliable. Because they still say the same thing that the first ones that we have say. Teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus and His word will never vary. What all this leads up to is the fact that if we are trusting in feelings, if we are depending upon I thought, there is no longer a need for Scripture. if how I feel supersedes what anybody else says, then I've become my own standard. And if I can be my own standard, then David can be his own standard. And now there's no need for a standard for all of us. There's no need for the Word of God if my feelings are going to trump God's Word. And lest we begin to take these things and throw them out there and say, well, yeah, that applies to all those denominational people out there. Understand, we can do the same thing. We can begin to hold people to my standard. And in doing so, we do away with the standard of God. That's a part of what Paul was dealing with in the Roman letter. That's a part of what Paul and the apostles were dealing with the Judaizing teachers. They were holding people to one standard that was not the standard of God. And in doing so, they were saying there's no need for the Word of God, because here's what you're supposed to do. If my plan of you need to be circumcised in order to be in a right relationship with God before you're baptized so that you can become a Christian, then I've superseded God's Word. And if my thoughts are more important than the Word of God, then I don't need the Word of God anymore. Ever had a discussion with the Mormons? I've had a couple of discussions with Mormons, and in some of those discussions, one of the points I tried to make is, you've made your Word more important than God's Word. You start talking to them about their Scriptures. Well, do you believe in the New Testament? Yes, I believe in the New Testament. It's the Word of God. But your Testament says this, and God's Word says this. Well, this Testament is right because it came later, at a later revelation. And therefore, what's found in the Word of God is not needed anymore. So what you're saying is you don't need the New Testament. Oh, yes, we need the New Testament. But our Testament is a better Testament. You're making that same argument. What we feel is right supersedes what the Bible says, because they're more interested in feelings than with Scripture and the teaching of God. But you know, the Scripture emphasizes that it is the Word that matters. In fact, when Paul and Barnabas were there in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, they spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the Word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiated and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. You remember the circumstances there? They had taught the Word of God and everybody was fine with it until they said, hey, this Word applies to the Gentiles too. And then the Jews said, oh, wait a minute, we can't agree with that. And Paul said, in doing that, you've rejected salvation for yourself because you rejected the Word of God. When he spoke of his Israelite family in Romans chapter 10, not knowing God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is revealed to us, and His revelation is such that there is absolutely no need for what man thinks about what we ought to do to even complement what the Bible tells us. Now, I'm not saying that we can't learn from the writings of men. We can. Commentators can be a benefit in helping us understand Scripture. But ultimately, what we need to understand is no matter what any man says, the Word of God is the authority. The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. All Scripture, Paul told Timothy, is given for the purpose of teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, so that we might be completely equipped for every good work. For all that God has designed for us to do, the Scripture gives us the understanding of what that is and how to apply it to our life. As Peter said, seeing His divine power has granted unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Folks, we need to remember God revealed, not I feel. We need to be very careful about justifying things by I think rather than God said. God's will is revealed in Scripture. Salvation is revealed in that same way. Everything God requires of us in regards to worship and service to Him and to our fellow man is found in the revelation of God. And there is no place in the scheme and plan of God for my feelings in determining right or wrong. It's simply, what did God say? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I may speak truth, but my words in and of themselves are not truth. My thoughts are the thoughts of a man who can change, who is unreliable. Only as we turn to God's Word can we know what God said. Feelings are not a standard. God's Word is, and we need to approach it from that standpoint. We need to be diligent in keeping ourselves focused on that Word. If you look this morning and find that you've been guiding yourself by, behold, I thought, rather than it is written, you need to make correction. It may have been some minor change, some minor distinction that you made, but if you direct yourself by I thought, or he thought, rather than it is written, you need to change. Find yourself in sin this morning, we encourage you to correct it. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive it. He's promised that He will. If your sin is public in nature, or if it's something you're having a difficulty overcoming. We always talk about coming and confessing private public sins, but remember, if you've got a private sin that you just can't get over, maybe you need the help of a brother. Prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ and their encouragement and strengthening factor to help you overcome that. Someone referred, maybe you need a little accountability to help hold you steady on the straight and narrow path. If that's your case, we can help. We'll do everything we can to help you and ourselves remain on the straight and narrow path described by the Word of God. And we can assist you in that. Opportunities are yours. Why don't you come? We'll send you to the church.